Smileys, and now, yeah, now smileys. They're at Balmoral.
Balmoral. So that's cool. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Okay, so January 16th, check them out.
Cool.
And we kind of out of time, but we might be able to play some songs you wanted on the record player if you can run to the studio quick enough. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm gonna switch over and play some other songs until that happens.
Cool.
Okay.
Yes. Bravo. Yes, indeed. This is going to make your world a lot different than the one I grew up in.
You know what?
CITR.
And?
Sure, it's over there.
And over there is where that sound is coming from. Right, Mr. Marconi?
Through the air, across the ocean, the first time ever.
You can get in serious trouble for copyright infringement.
Yeah? Copyright is not doing crap!
Copyright, what's copyright?
What?
No, it is.
Welcome to
the copyright.
Oh,
this is
so bad.
In a bit of a frantic mood over here in the station. The CITR 101.9 FM. You're tuning into the Copyright Experiment. This is Autonomy here with DJ Moki. Say hi.
Slowing things down.
I love turntable rundowns.
Turntable rundown.
I just love turning it off and letting it. So much fun. Okay. What else is fun? Reading empirical copyright studies.
Uh huh.
I love that.
Very exciting.
32 pages of. Well, I didn't read all of it, but...
Yeah, the listeners don't need to know that.
15 pages of...
yeah, so today on the Copyright Experiment, welcome back. We've had a bit of a hiatus. If you listened last week, so we had some weird problems. We played our Best of 2013 show, and which we pre-recorded. And, you know, everything's going great. And then about 45 minutes through, it just stopped and restarted for some reason. So if you do want to hear the rest of our Best of 2013 show, we're going to be putting it up tonight.
Where will it be, Tim?
On the blog on copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com.
Woo!
So you can go there, listen to our Best of 2013 mix. And then we'll also have tonight's blog up there. Tonight's show up on the blog, too.
Two for one.
Damn. A great night to be a fan of the Copyright Experiment. Thanks, Mom.
Okay, so as I said earlier, we are talking about a case study which is trying to determine empirically, so with data, whether or not file sharing and sort of the rise of Napster and all that jazz is increasing or decreasing the output of creative processes and mainly music. So it's looking at, you know, okay, if we, oh, there you go. We have like stricter copyright laws, does that create less or more music output in total?
And yeah, there's a legitimate reason for believing that that may be the case, which I'll explain right now. I'm just going to go, we're just going to wing it because my computer decided to restart on me. But yeah, I mean, let's see here. There's this assumption since the rise of file sharing that because artists are being paid less for their work, that they are disincentivized from making music, and so they'll make less music, and it hurts the industry overall.
And then we won't have anything to listen to. No.
Exactly. It's basically, you know, that the music fans are shooting themselves in the foot. But that there's reason to believe that that's not entirely the case. And the reason for that is due to some lesser-known economic theories, a little more complicated than the classic supply and demand, but still very real theories that we've seen in the marketplace. And that's the idea that there's one thing that will influence the supply and demand equilibrium is that when revenues decrease, then the the incentive for creating it will decrease, which is what the record industry has tried to push very strongly.
That's probably most of what you hear for that reason.
Yeah, and why file sharing is bad for the industry. But there's also another effect that happens that the record industry doesn't really talk about because it doesn't really serve their purpose. And that
money.
For any given work, when there are low returns for the work, that the artists who do still continue to work in that field will produce more output. And that's just simply because they'll have to create more to compensate for the loss of revenue.
Yeah, they have to work harder to make the same amount of money, basically.
Right, and which makes a lot of sense, too.
Yeah, which, like, I mean, it sounds bad, but it's not necessarily bad. I mean, because it gets them to... It challenges them to work harder and make more music and possibly better music, even, I would argue.
Right, and it's... When we're talking about why file sharing is bad, I mean, the reason that it's considered bad is because it infringes on copyright.
Taking money away.
Yeah, and which leads to taking money away, right? But, you know, when we think about the spirit of copyright is that we've talked about in the past on the show, is that the spirit of copyright is to protect artists' rights so that they can create more and have an incentive to create more. So, And here, right here, is an incentive to create more in the fact that file sharing is making an economic incentive for the artists who do create music to actually make more.
Say that again.
So the
I didn't even understand that.
So the loss in revenue due to relaxed copyright in the form of file sharing is creating an economic incentive for the artists who do make music to make more of it.
Right.
Which we just said.
Yeah.
So they're trying to increase their revenue. And this is actually completely in line with the spirit of copyright, the copyright law, which is, you know, to incentivize and to encourage artists to make more.
Yeah. Because I know, like, a lot of the copyrights in technology, at least, are their main focus is just technologic progression. So moving things forward. So not letting copyright get in the way, but also not letting it, you know, get in people's sort of financial way.
Right, so now we have this other idea that file sharing may actually increase, in some respects, the amount of music we get from the artists that actually do decide to stay in the field. And generally, the ones that do decide to stay in the field are ones that are the more popular ones, the ones that make more money, ones that aren't in a low wage. Because when you have a low wage, and you increase. When you decrease that wage, then you lose the incentive to actually make it.
Yeah.
But when you have a pretty high wage and you lose a bit of your wage, your incentive is more likely to just make more.
Yeah.
Produce exactly. More, work harder.
And then on the flip side, if you're already making a lot of money, there's actually this point where if you start making too much money, that you can make enough money to be satisfied in a short amount of time and you'll spend less time with work.
Right, it's called the income effect.
Yeah.
And this happens to really high income workers where when they reach a certain point their high income allows for more leisure time, which then they use to work less.
Yeah.
So by increasing copyright protections, which has happened continually since the 60s and even before then, then it for the artists at the top, it creates a disincentive to make music.
And I have actually two interesting examples, which the author of this article, which, by the way, his name is Glenn S. Looney Jr.
I'll post a link to the online version of it. You may need a journal subscription if you're a UBC student or a student in general.
Let me find this. So
you can at least read the
first one was Verdi, and he when they put in a copyright sort of law in the 19th century, his opera earnings increased, and then he started writing many fewer operas, which one could say, you know, is a detriment. You know, we could have gotten more of his work. And similarly, Garth Brooks became top selling, and then pretty much just retired after that. And I think those are two interesting examples of that kind of effect that you don't think of when people make almost too much money to really be challenged and make more music.
Yeah.
Which could be seen as, you know, positive or negative, depending on how you look at it.
Yes, but as all statisticians and all economists know, one example does not make a does not prove a theory. So this guy, what's his name, Glenn Lunny. He actually did the research, and what he did is from 1986 to 2013, I believe, were the years he cataloged all of the artists who had hits on the Billboard Hot 100, which is the de facto standard for what's popular these days each week. And he went through there and tried to find if artists were creating more hits or less hits since 1999, or before and after 1999, which is the year that Napster was released and kind of changed everything. And so it's important to note here that when we're talking about broadening copyright protections and narrowing copyright protections, is that we're not talking strictly about changes in the law. We're also talking about technology such as Napster or file sharing that actually is inadvertently narrowed how much protection there is under copyright, just because we're not able to enforce that copyright control.
Mm-hmm. So when a platform exists for sharing, then we're talking about making it a lot easier for people to basically sort of get around the copyright.
Mm-hmm. So what he did is he went through all these artists and tried to find if basically there's these two competing pressures in the market, right? So there's in theory there's the pressure of, you know, lowering, because we have narrow copyright protections due to file sharing, there will be less new entrants to the market because there's less incentives to create, but also more from the higher paid artists.
Yeah.
And so Glenn wants to see which of these effects is more powerful and which one contributed to the alleged decline in revenue in the music industry. And what he found was that they're actually what he did is he found that the substitution effect, where there are less new entrants to market, basically was highly favored. But so there were less new artists on the Billboard Hot 100, but the artists that were on there had more hits.
Mm-hmm.
And so there actually was both of these effects present, as predicted.
Yeah. So you see, when there's less copyright, then people have to, you know, they have to work a little harder. They make more songs, I guess. And that's kind of what he observed here, at least in this study.
Yeah. So the income effect is also present, where those who competed in the market and made more hits, and it showed that his perception of copyrights, the way copyright, what the job is supposed to do, in that it's supposed to incentivize more content to be created for societies in general, is being fulfilled by this narrower sense of copyright, in the idea that the artists who are making hits are making more hits. So in his mind, copyright is being fulfilled with this narrower sense, this loosening of copyright structure. Because it's incentivizing more hits.
Yeah, when it's loosened.
Mm-hmm.
So you have less regulation, basically.
Yeah, so he's basically saying that, in conclusion, that what the record industry is saying is completely false.
Or at least that, you know, this is an argument against it.
Right, yeah.
Which is, I mean, this is, as he even says in the article, this is kind of one study done in a particular way, and there'll have to be more studies done in various other ways and, you know, different charts, different ways of taking data, but at the very least it goes against what the record industry says, and it kind of turns some of the things that they say on their heads, and at least, you know, proposes sort of secondary things which go against what they're saying.
Right. And so now we actually did have a few other thoughts on this this article, which I don't think were adequately answered in it. My biggest response to it is that It's all well to kind of apply economic theories to an industry like the music industry, and it seems to have responded well to it. I mean, the results that he found did fall in line with his predicted results from the microeconomic theory, but it doesn't really say anything about music as a creative endeavor.
Yeah.
And which is what copyright is all about. It's not about the music industry. It's about the protecting the creativity of people. And music, like other artistic endeavors, they don't necessarily respond to economic theories as well as other industries might. And because the music was turned into an industry in the 20th century, it took on the nature of the market. But music in its essence doesn't really do that, and we're starting to see that now with the way the music industry is evolving now.
And that's, I mean, part of what we're seeing is what we do on our show is playing free music, which
exactly.
People make. I mean, you know, we've had people, both Vincent Parker and the passenger we had on here said, you know, they just want to make music. It's not about, you know, the incentives necessarily. You know, they want to put their music out, they want to share it. And I think that's something that, I mean, it seems like it's part of human nature. I mean, so whether or not the incentives are there, you know, might be convincing for government officials and people running record labels, but at the end of the day, people are still going to make music.
Right. That's huge. And in our interview with Kathleen Cross, she mentioned that too. You know,
yeah, right.
People are never going to stop making music.
Yes, yeah, so all of our interviews.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean that they're going to be, I mean, it could very well mean that there will be less new entrants into the market of music making, mm-hmm. into the industry of it, but people aren't going to stop making music. And it's kind of the industry, ironically, is transcending the industry right now. The classical music industry is kind of being substituted out for this new artist-driven industry that connects fans directly with artists.
Yeah, and especially nowadays with so many people having access to, you know, just a computer is all you need to start making music, and
exactly.
Like all kinds of artists just coming from all over the place, and you know, like anyone can do it kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's my other major thought on this too, is that the rise of file sharing may have been a transformational item in the record industry evolution, but yeah. It also coincided with other major transformations in the music world, mm-hmm. in that production costs dramatically reduced so that anyone with a computer could now make their own music.
Yeah.
And also that distribution costs have dramatically reduced so that the people who do make music can get it out to the people who want to listen to it very, very easily and cheaply.
Yeah, and it also gives a culture, which I'm a big fan of, you know, putting stuff on SoundCloud and someone else remixing it and someone else remixing it. And there's a lot, like, if none of that could happen, I mean, half the tracks I've downloaded on SoundCloud wouldn't be able to exist,
mm-hmm.
you know? So just from my personal experience, I can see that if the copyright laws were really, you know, super strict and you couldn't take anything that was, you know, commercial or anything, it would really cut out a lot of the work that I love.
Right. And I think the fact that these ideas or these other transformations in music, they've actually may have contributed almost as much to the higher turnover rate on the Hot 100, which is mm-hmm. what this researcher found, so that there's more hits by fewer artists, which means there's a higher turnover rate of the songs that are on the list. So I mean, but that could also be associated with just an accelerated music culture where
yeah.
you know, more music is being made and more music is being distributed faster than ever, and it just kind of accelerates the pace in which music is consumed.
Yeah.
So it could be less of a market force due to file sharing, and could be just a technological force in the way of a higher consumption cycle of music.
Yeah, and also just the way we live these days is generally faster with the internet and everything being
right.
connected. You can just, you know, boom, 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 you can go through songs like nothing. And also you can have access to them very quickly and very easily.
Mm-hmm.
I think that also plays a big part into it. And I think something you said earlier was really stuck with me, that it was a transformation, it's not like the music industry was destroyed by Napster. It was transformed.
Right.
You know, it's become something different,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is cool.
Yeah, it's hard to... I do say that the music industry a lot, but it's hard to characterize it as an industry
yeah.
now. It's very much like a marketplace more
yeah.
more than a traditional corporate industry.
The music marketplace.
Yeah. I
coined a new term there.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I think that just about wraps up our talk about file sharing and copyright law.
So again, if you want to read the paper, we'll post it on our blog at copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com.
Mm-hmm.
And post, of course, links to the mix I'm about to spin, all the songs you can download for yourself. You can listen to this again in any of our previous shows as well. And you're listening to CITR 101.9, and we'll be right back. Nightwalk. Nightwalk.
Join CITR's Nardwar the Human Serviette live as he talks and plays interview clips from his audio and video vault. The event is free and takes place on Friday, January 17th from noon to 2 p.m. in room 212A of the AMS Student Union Building at UBC. For more information, visit CITR.ca or Nardwar.com.
Bless up! Nardwar!
Open Media International is a non-profit, non-partisan organization working towards informed, citizen-driven internet policy. Open Media believes in keeping the internet uncensored, open, innovative, secure, and providing universal access to fast and affordable networks. If you would like Open Media to keep campaigning for citizens and internet policy, you can donate to them at openmedia.org or openmedia.ca. You can also find them on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Google+.
Welcome back to the Copyright Experiment. DJ Mochi is going to spin us a mix right now. You want to play it?
Yep.
So the first track is Big Crit, rapper. This is a self-produced track on his mixtape, A King Remembered in Time. And it's pretty cool. It samples the hit from James Blake's album from last year or 2 years ago, The Wilhelm Scream. Very cool track. Oh, technical difficulties. Well, that's not good. Okay, well, you have to wait a minute to hear that song. We got some other songs queued up, though. But while DJ Mochi tries to figure out what happened here, we'll fill the air with some more station IDs.
This is Dan from Greymaker.
This is Oscar
Bilott. Howdy, folks. We're the Bitterweed Drawn.
This is Zach from Black Breath.
Hi, this is Artie from Broken Bones.
Hello, Vancouver. This is Carolyn Mark.
I'm Water Crime Guide.
This is Dan Mangan.
Hey, this is David Pepke from Denmark.
This is Dylan Osick from Slingshot.
Hi, this is Dick Valentine from Electric Six.
Hi, everybody. This is Fred Penner on the Radio Waves.
This is Fred Schneider.
This is Colin from GBH.
Hi, this is the Gearing Up Inventors.
Hi, this is Ben Ditto from The Gossip.
Hi, this is Brian from Hellshock.
This is Scruffmouth the Scribe.
I'm Shani from Inepsy.
This is Sab Gray from Iron Cross.
Hey, we're J plus J plus J.
This is Jack Mercer from Jack Mercer and the Whiskey Bandits.
It's James Wood, half of Mega Bear.
This is Jerron Paxton, American musicianer.
This is Swami Bill and the Shameless Weed Hounds from New Orleans, Louisiana, east of the Mississippi.
Hi, this is John Boutte from New Orleans, Louisiana.
This is Jesse Laborde.
I'm Peter Mansbridge.
Hi, this is Ron McLean of Hockey / Movie Night in Canada.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, also on the web, CITR.ca, in UBC, University of British Columbia, in Vancouver, Canada. Have our people contact your people, won't you?
You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
This is Colin from GBH, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, and that's Canada, boys.
Yeah, it's your man DJ Tamil, and when I'm up in Vancouver, I'm chilling and listening to 101.9, the best station in the whole Canada. What? I said it.
So if you haven't realize yet, you're listening to CITR. This is the Copyright Experiment. I think we're just about ready to hear that Big Crit song. Now you've had that
fucking
big
piece of shit.
Well, yeah. Did we mention there's explicit language on this show? but now that you got a good anticipation for it, let it rip. Thank you.
room full of tight stairs. Was ill a few a dream or a nightmare? How dare I rap about my real life? Good Lord, I gave my all, but this don't feel right. Jigaboo's a minstrel, you, but never me. Black face, my black face could never be. Sambo, my camo, say otherwise. That revolution of mine, they'll never televise. One album, I'm still kicking. Def Jam, tell them I'm still whipping. Tell them I'm still winning. Tell them I'm still in it. Next time I drop a bomb, I swear I'ma kill niggas. No pause is needed, I swear I don't feel niggas. Snakes in my front yard, I swear I'ma deal with it. All is still hitting. Pray that they still get it. I feel like I failed y'all, it's hard to live with it. My dreams. Dreams, cause I'm more spiritual than lyrical. Produce my whole album, that's nothing short of a miracle. Was I wrong to be so heavy-hearted? I refuse to give up what I started. For false awards and cover boards in every store. A different shore's a bore when all my people poor. Yeah, there's some bras galore, but yeah, I wanted more. Fuck a reality show, I'd rather do a tour. I'd rather crowd surf before I live. As if God ain't real, I'd rather die first. Bury me inside a cemetery. Remember me as just a visionaire. I'm more Geronimo Pratt than OG Bobby. They love the fact you made it, but hate the fact you got it. The stairway to heaven is packed, I'm in the lobby. Too scared to go to sleep, cause most times I often died in my dreams.
Girlfriends mentioned, he's a slut, he's a hoe, he's a freak. Got a different girl every day of the week. crush on you. I had to let you know that I got a crush on you.
Here comes, baby, what's it gonna be? Is it you? Me, I'm waiting to be. Tell me what the deal is. Can I keep it real, real? Tell you how I feel, feel, feel. I'm ready for all the things, baby, that you wanna do. But first, I gotta know if I can get a small commitment from you. Okay, okay, okay. Tell me your way, way, way. I know you wanna make it rain for me.
This is Etta Bond, with a track called Loophole. Before that was the Falcons remix of Aja Cruz, a track called Boyfriend. And before that was Everlasting Sunday by Cuthead.
We'll be right back.
Canadian Chachou, the remix of Drake's Headlines, the hit from his last album. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more music. Copyright Experiment.
Did you know that UBC hosts the largest student-led conference in North America? It's called the Student Leadership Conference, and it's happening on Saturday, January 11th, 2014. Learn about how students, staff, faculty, alumni, and community partners are coming together from around the world to be infinite. Register today at slc.ubc.ca.
Who are you to comment on who I am? What the fuck, man? Fucking prick. Oh yeah? Since when? Who the fuck are you, fool? You'll see. Fucking coward. You're a fucking hater. Fuck out of here. Enjoy hating, you prick. Oh good, you fucking idiot. You fucking with the wrong guy. Sucks to be you. Better watch yourself. Real talk.
Beaver Hour. Tuesdays at 11 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with your host, Emma Rawson.
Rawson. Rawson. Rawson.
Welcome back. The Copyright Experiment. Got some more tunes for you. What do we got next, TJ Mochi? Okay, he's nodding his head.
What did I say?
What do we got next?
Oh, it's my remix.
Oh, this is DJ Mochi's remix. It's a good one. Play it. It's a remix of Empire of the Sun. Play it.
Hit up the mixer.
Oh. Oh, yeah, that's my fault. All right, play it. We'll be right back.
way. If you want to know that on my soul, do what you want, what you want with my body. What you want with my body. You can't have my heart, and you won't use my mind. Longer nights, time for it, private fights, crazy schedule, fast life. I wouldn't trade it in, cause it's our life.
Yeah, we're playing Lady Gaga on the Copyright Experiment. This is B.A.M.'s other remix. Before that was K.W. Griff with Body Work.
Assertive, he's a boy. When you're a girl, you're not gonna be a
This is Deebs remixing Luna George's Your Drums, Your Love. Yeah, those drums. you guessed this tune was by Justin Bieber, then you guessed right. Biggie remix. Justin Bieber's Hold Tight.
Buzz.
a track by Skinny Bones called Little Fluffy Clouds. That's going to wrap up our show for this week. Up next is Pierre with Oral Tentacles. If you liked any of the songs we played, of course, check out the blog, copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com. Get all those songs for download and listen to the podcast. See you next time.
Hello, I'm Wilson.
I'm Carmita.
You're listening to CITR 101.9.
Happy 75th birthday, CITR.